All right. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Y'all saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Proverbs chapter 4, let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing one more time on the message tonight. I just want you to understand, before I came up, Seth gave me a bit of wisdom tonight before I came up. He said, "Dad, don't preach long." So I said, "That's all right. 3 hours." Amen. So anyway, hopefully we won't too long tonight. Y'all a little tired tonight? Are you tired tonight? Y'all just want to go home? It's not going to happen, but would you like to go home? All right. And I'm going to do my best to make it 30 minutes or less. All right. And again, it's as long as the Lord lets me. But I want to give you this thought tonight. Let's pray. Father, I need your help. Lord, would you again please help your people tonight? Lord, I know they are a little tired. I ask you to give them the strength. And God, help us to have an understanding of this passage. And Lord, may apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, church family, I mentioned, of course, being Father's Day this weekend. I'm not going to be preaching this weekend. Brother Martin will be preaching. And so the timing of this chapter is kind of interesting. Now, if you remember correctly, I'm not a good teacher, but there's so much information here, and that information, you know, we've looked at it so many times, but knowledge is the facts, understanding is the comprehension of those facts, wisdom is the use of those facts. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, all right? So what we're doing, basically, as we're walking through Proverbs, is I'm giving you the facts, and I'm doing my best to make sure that you comprehend what those facts are saying. And then what you do with those facts when you leave here is determines whether or not you have wisdom or not. All right? Does that make sense? All right. So in chapter number 4, and by the way, I don't know if you're keeping close notes is what we've been going, because they're not back to back. But the last part of chapter 3 I haven't discussed with you, okay? But I can tell you right now, it's verse number 32 through verse number 35 there, the last part. And the last few verses in chapter 3 are four contrasting characters. In verse 32, it's the froward contrasting with the righteous. In verse 33, it's the wicked contrasting with the just. In verse 34, it's the scorner contrasting with the lowly. In verse 35, it's the wise contrasting with the fool. All right, so that message is over with. So you're going to get two messages in one. Now let's go to chapter number 4, all right? "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." And then Solomon makes this statement, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now think about the first part of the chapter, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. It's about a father-son relationship and how a father-son relationship ought to be. Now, David and Solomon had a very unique relationship. And I want to tell you tonight, if you do not have a good relationship with your father, you ought to. By the way, if you don't have a good relationship with your Heavenly Father, you ought to. All righty? And we ought to do our best to strive, when it comes to our Heavenly Father, we ought to strive to make sure there's nothing that would break fellowship between us and our Heavenly Father. You are not going to walk the Christian life that God wants you to, as long as there's sin in your life, which is going to disrupt fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And can I just say, on the same token, that you are not going to have a good relationship with your earthly father, as long as there's something breaking fellowship. And I want to tell you what's going to break fellowship. Listen to this next statement. When you're not doing the will of the Father. Man, that sounds spiritual. So in other words, if I'm not doing the will of my parent has a desire for my life. They want me to have character. They want me to clean my room. They want me to make sure I have the right kind of friends. They want me to have my devotions. And so what happens is, that's the will of the parent. And we'll just use the word father. The will of the father. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have a good relationship. And we can use the word fellowship. You're not going to have good fellowship when it comes to your earthly father. Now, David and Solomon had a unique relationship. They went together. Now, church family, I want to give you the chapter tonight, and I'm only going to talk about just the first part of the chapter. Again, you old folks tonight, you've probably heard a little bit of this before, but look at chapter number 4 with me. Look at verse number 4. All right, now you say it with me. The first three words in verse number 4, say it together. He taught me. Say it again. He taught me. That's verse number 4. Now look down to verse number 11. 1, 2, 3, 4. The first four words. Say it together. I have taught thee. Say it again. I have taught thee. So this chapter is talking about a father's relationship with his son. And the first relationship we have is Solomon saying, he taught me. So who was Solomon referring to that taught him? Talking to David, his father. So in other words, my father taught me this, and that's verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Verses 4, where'd he get that? Look at verse 4 again. He taught me also and said, who's the one speaking now? All right, now Solomon is giving reference to who is speaking to him. Who's speaking to him? David. So he says in verse number 4, he taught me also and said unto me. In other words, David, my father, told me these things. Verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Verse number 10, Solomon picks up and starts speaking again, and he says, hear, O my son, Solomon talking to Rehoboam or his other sons, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee. All right, so Solomon is going to pick it up, verse number 10 through verse number 27, and he's going to teach his sons something, all right? And so it's very, very important for us to understand what's going on in the chapter. Now, if you're writing an outline for this chapter, here's how I would outline it. Verses 1, 2, and 3, introduction. Because verse 1, 2, and 3, there's nobody specifically speaking. Solomon's giving an account of the chapter, talking about the father-son relationship. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And then it says, he taught me also, and said unto me. So then David is speaking, verses 4 through 9, and then verse number 10, Solomon picks it up again through the end of the chapter. Now, tonight, I'll get as far as the Lord will let us tonight, but I think that if the Lord lets us tonight, I want to get just through tonight what David taught Solomon. That's all I want to do tonight. Yeah, there's only 3 points once I get to them. There's only 3 points about David teaching Solomon, all right? And then verse 10 through 27 is Solomon teaching his sons, Lord permitting, if the Lord lets us, we'll do that in another service, all right? Now, church family, I want to just go through the introduction with you just real quick. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. All right, look at verse number 1 again. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Now, what he's saying here is he's saying, hey, listen, pay attention. The word hear there means to hear or to give attention. It's interesting, the word attend in that verse, in verse number 1, it means this. It means to prick up the ears. All right, it means to prick up the ears. If somebody came behind you tonight and flicked your ears, that would get your attention, don't you think? We can do it if you'd like. If somebody came through and flicked your ears, it would prick up the ears. Hey, I've told this illustration before, because when we used to go bus calling, I don't like dogs. I'm not opposed to you having a dog, but when you go out soul winning and bus calling, I don't like dogs. I can't trust a dog. My wife and I went to a house just the other day, and as soon as the guy opened the door, a dog came out. My first statement, I say, does the dog bite? I don't like dogs because I can't trust a dog. All right? I don't have a dog. I don't trust a dog. All right? I have a hard time trusting my children, let alone a dog. But anyway, but the dog. So when a dog comes up, when I was doing bus call, I don't know how many times they would let dogs sit on the front porch and you'd come up. And you know, if I saw a dog on the front porch, I go to the next house. I don't stop. Dog's there, I'm gone. All right? I'm just not comfortable, you know? You know, Jake could give testimony of how bad dogs can be. All right? Was it Trek Distribution that you got bit? Jake got bit by a dog on Trek Distribution, and he didn't sit well for a long time. Anyway, but that dog bit him. All right? And so I remember as a child, I had there was a teenage girl on the bus route, and she ran up to the door on Sunday morning for the kids to come to, and she came up to the door, and a German Shepherd came out the front and bit her right here. She had to go and get stitches in her mouth from that dog. And so I just don't trust dogs, all right? I've had too many bad experiences with dogs. This is not a message on why you shouldn't have a dog, but anyway, the dog. But here's what I'm trying to get you to see is that when I would go soul winning and I'd see a dog on the porch, there were some, most of the time, the dog, before he opens his eyes, he lifts his ears. Right. Have you ever noticed it before? If a dog's sleeping, before he even opens his eyes, his ears go up. Now, you know, the indication I'm trying to get you to see is this, is that Solomon says, hey, listen to you, hear, give attention, attend, prick the ears, pay attention. Young people, I want to tell you, God's given you a wealth of wisdom in your home by giving you a father, and you don't see that because you're related. Or because he's the disciplinarian in the home. And what's happened is if you're not careful, the older you get, you start to put walls up between you and a source of wisdom in your life because you're looking at the personality instead of what God's placed in your life. Hey, how many of you chose who would be your father? Nobody. Can I tell you, you were born into that family by divine appointment, and so the father that you have, God allowed to be your father in your life. And I just want you to understand that Solomon is making a statement here in verse number 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend, prick up the ears. Verse number 2, for I give you good doctrine. That means learning or teaching. I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Hey, let me just hit this in running. I think dad ought to make law. I don't think mom should make law. That means we shouldn't have a woman for a president either. Amen. I want to tell you something. In the home, the father ought to be the leader. Right. And as that leader, he makes the law. Hey, in our home, I don't know how many times my wife has said, my kids come to my wife, and my wife says, hey, you ask your dad, he's the boss. Now, I didn't tell my wife to tell him that, but I want to tell you something, that the father ought to be the boss in the home. Now, I know there's a lot of other things, scenarios with that, and maybe your scenario is bad, but I just want you to understand, God intended for a man to lead. He also intended several other things too, all right? But he intended for the man to lead. And that's why that statement is used. He says, hey, I'll give you good doctrine. I'll give you good teaching, forsaking not my law. This is law, all right? Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Look at the next verse, all right? In verse number 3, it goes on to say, he says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. All right, let me quickly say this, and I'm going to get to the message quickly here. I want you to understand that God wants you to have a good relationship with your dad. All right? Now, there's some of you in here tonight, you say, well, Pastor Franks, I don't have a father at home. But I just want you to understand, okay, you're an exception to the rule. That's not the rule. God intended one man, one woman for life to stay together and for you to have a good relationship with your dad. And there's a host of you in here, you do have a dad. And I want to tell you something. If you've got a bad relationship with your dad, you ought to work at trying to get a good relationship. I was my father's son. Well, I want to tell you something. David had more than one son. You know what Solomon was saying? I was close to my dad. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Solomon had a good relationship with his mom and dad. Well, I've got a good relationship with my mom, but not my dad. Then get a good relationship with your dad. I've got a good relationship with my dad, but I have a good relationship with my mom. Then get a good relationship with your mom. Hey, I know you don't see things really clearly, but you ought to listen to wisdom tonight. I just want you to understand you only got one mom and dad. You ought to love them. Amen. Honor them. Encourage them. Help them. Be a blessing. I just wrote, I guess it was for Sunday maybe, how to have a glad dad and how to have a sad dad. And you know, the Bible is very, very clear that it's how you treat your parents on whether or not you have a glad dad or sad dad. Right. All right, now, the message tonight is about David and what he taught Solomon. Now, there's only three things in here that I can see that to me spells out what David taught Solomon. Look at your Bible now. Look at verse number 4. Here's what it is. He taught me, Solomon's talking about his dad, he taught me also and said unto me, here's what he said. Number 1, let thine heart retain my words. Number 2, keep my commandments and live. Number 3, get wisdom. All right, now there's several more verses, and I'll explain here in just a second. But verses 5 through verse number 9 are all talking about wisdom proper, or wisdom as a whole. But those three statements that David made to Solomon. Verse number 4 again, he taught me also and said unto me. What did David say? Here's what he said. Let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. Now, church family, in this passage here, the word retain means to sustain, to obtain, or to keep fast. Now, I just want you to understand that God wants us to listen to our fathers. All right, now, let me back up for just a little bit, if you don't mind, okay? I'm doing fine on time. I just want to give you, let me give you another thought here. In verse number 4, it says, what's the first three words? Talk to me. All right, it says, he taught me, right? Verse number 11, what's the first four words? I have taught thee. All right, now, church family, here's what the Bible's teaching us here, okay? The word taught there means to throw. And there's three definitions. One of the definitions means to throw, all right? And some of that definition, it means to point. And some of that definition, it means to throw a dart at a certain object or certain point. Now, the concept of this word taught, he taught me, I have taught thee. Now, here's what it means. Brother Michael, stand right over here for a second here, okay? Martin, stand on the other side of him if you don't mind. You stand right there in the middle, Michael, and then Martin right out there. Don't go too far, Martin. Come back this way a little bit. Right there's fine. All right, now, the Bible said in verse number 1, he says, hear ye children the instruction, hear, give attention. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend, prick up the ears. What he's saying is, as a father to a son, you're the one that ought to be attentive to what dad's saying. And then he goes on to say, Solomon being in the center here, David being over here, Rehoboam, we'll just use Rehoboam as one of Solomon's sons on the other side. He says, Solomon speaking, David, taught me. And then he said, I have taught thee. Are you with me so far? Now, the word taught means, one of the definitions means to throw. Now, I just want you to understand, when your dad's at home and he's teaching you or telling you or admonishing you or trying to steer you, here's what he's doing. What he's teaching you, he's throwing. Now, everything you catch, you get to pass on to the next generation. Go ahead and pass it to him. Everything he catches, he passes on to the next generation. Now, I'm fearful for some of you young people in here, because here's what's going on in your life. Brother, don't catch it. Here's what's going on in your life. You have a father like David. He taught me, means to throw, means to pass, means to pass on. What's happening is this, is your dad's passing a lot out, but you're not catching it. Right. And because you're not catching it, You don't look down this far because some of you aren't even married yet. You don't understand that your children, which is your father's grandchildren, your children, your grandchildren, they are not going to have what they need in life because you think you know it all and you're not catching anything.
Amen.
You're not catching it. You haven't figured out why your mom and dad keep you in church and give you a Christian education. You haven't figured out why it's so important for you to have your devotions. You haven't figured out. You know why? Because mom and dad's throwing it. They're throwing it, but you're missing it. And you know why you're missing it? Because you're not catching it.
Amen.
You think you understand everything. I know how to spend my money. Don't tell me how to spend my money. I know how. It's not your money to begin with, number one. And number two, your mom and dad's been around twice, in some cases three times longer than you've been alive. I think they know a little more than you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I want to tell you something. If you were wise, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Watch me now. Every time dad throws something, hear, pick up the ears. Yeah. Pay attention. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Pastor Beck. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says that if you do that, you'll catch it. And that's why Solomon, who was the wisest person who ever lived, he could take it and pass it to his generation. Now, I want to tell you something. Rehoboam, he obviously, he missed some things, don't you think? Rehoboam didn't turn out very good as a king. And you know what? There's a lot of young people that are missing this word taught. It's just as simply, it's just a matter of your father wants to pass some things on to you. You need to pay attention to what those things are instead of being so oblivious to them. All right? All right, thank you. Bring your seat. Maybe seated for just a moment. Now, quickly, I want to give you these three things, okay? Here's what he says. Number one, he says, listen to my words. That's what David said to Solomon. Listen to my words. He taught me also, verse 4, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain. Listen to my words. It means to keep fast, to obtain, to sustain. He says, I want you to hold on to. Listen, verse number 4, let thine heart retain, keep, hold fast. Retain my words. Hey, young people, I want to tell you something. There's some things from your mom and dad you ought to take and you ought to be listening to what they're saying. I've got a few kids at home that are nosy when mom and dad's talking. I don't know if you got to be like that. My wife and I can be talking about certain things and there can be all kinds of chaos going on in the house and all of a sudden it gets really quiet. And you know why it gets really quiet? Because I got a few nosy kids want to know where we going next, what's going on next. It's kind of like that. And then I've got some real sneaky ones. They act like they want to help clean the kitchen while mom and dad's talking. And the only reason, they don't clatter any dishes. I mean, they just, Hey, I want to tell you something. It'd be good for you as young people to start paying attention and holding fast some of those things. Hey, you know, minor things in life. My dad used Heinz ketchup. And I don't know how many times I've heard my dad say, it's ketchup, not catsup. I don't know how many times he said, Dial soap is the best soap. I found out it's not. But anyway, Dial soap is the best soap. I mean, there's just certain things that my dad... Now, obviously, those are trivial things, but there are some important things that my dad taught me. You know, my dad, he was a man of principle. And you know what? And he was a very strong man of principle, and there were things that were principles to him that nobody else thought were principles. But you know what? Because he believed them so strongly, he was adamant about them. Adamant about them. I mean, things that I look back and I think, man, that really wasn't that important, was it? But it was important to him. You know, my father growing up, he thought that if a fellow wore pleated pants that he was wearing, that the pleats were for women. And so growing up, I still don't wear pleated pants to this day. Now, I don't have chapter and verse that pleated pants are wrong. I think my kids probably wear them. I don't think it's a big deal. But my dad, man, he was very adamant about you don't have pleats in your pants because girls have pleats in their skirts. So since girls had pleats in their skirts, guys shouldn't have pleats in their pants. And so growing up, we never, and you know what? He was so adamant. You couldn't wear them in the school. You couldn't wear them to activities. I mean, he was just adamant about it. In fact, one kid came to graduate from high school, and he wore pleated pants. And he had all of his family come to watch him graduate. My father didn't let him walk. I mean, he was that was a principle to him. I'm not letting loose on it. I mean, there were just different things. You know, there are a lot of things handed down that I think about. My, give me that fan for just a second here. The fan you were just holding a second ago. Peter is out on this front row. The reason Peter is out on the front row is because he was up all night last night, or at least a portion of it. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, and he was already out of bed bouncing off the walls. So him and I went to the gymnasium this morning, went to McDonald's this morning. We got a lot done at 5 o'clock in the morning. So his body is still adjusting from China to here. And so I woke him up. My wife wasn't very happy with me, but I don't know what I'm gonna do with him yet. But anyway, so this will be the only service he's sleeping. I promise you that. All right. But since we'll let him get caught up for just a little bit. That poor kid. Anyway, I should wake him up. Should I wake him up? No, I won't wake him up. All right, so, but anyway, Peter brought these fans for our whole family, all right? All these fans for our whole family. So Silas is over here. Now, obviously, you know, it's a fan. But I want to tell you something. When I was growing up, boys don't use fans.
Hey, come on.
Hey. All right, come on.
Boys don't use, excuse me, men don't use fans.
Hey.
You know, I want to tell you something. If you're hot and, you know, you're having a hard time, you want to take a sheet of paper and go like that, that's one thing. But I want to tell you something. You better not be a man going like this.
Amen.
There's something wrong with you,
hey.
Twinkie. So anyway, this was a gift given to us. He gave everyone in our family one. And I mean, he doesn't mean it, being it bad. But you're not going to catch me with a fan except during a service illustrating. You're not going to catch me with a fan, all right? So Silas is over here, and I came down during Brother Elliott's presentation, and he had that fan, and I leaned over to Silas and said, men don't use fans.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if Silas was paying attention, but he ought to pay attention.
Amen.
He ought to pay attention to that, because you know why? His father said, men don't use fans like that. That's a woman thing. All right? Some of you must have a fan. I can see it in your eyes. All right? Now, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what's happening, all right? There are several times in life. Stand up, Silas. Silas has no idea, but here's what's happening. Men don't use fans. Now, he can either catch that and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to use the fan. My dad's going to think I'm a Twinkie. Or he can say, oh, dad's just old-fashioned. It doesn't matter. I want to tell you something. There's many of you things that are important to your moms and dads, and I just want you to understand, if it's not important to anybody else but it's important to your mom and dad, then it ought to be important to you.
Right.
That's why Solomon said, prick up the ears. That's why Solomon said, you better pay attention. And when he says, hey, listen, this is what my dad said, how did Solomon know what his dad said to be able to tell us in the eternal pages of Scripture, this is what my dad said? I want to tell you why he knew. Because he paid attention.
Right.
He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Here's the second one. Thank you very much. So the first thing he says, hey, listen, my dad told me this. Listen to what I say. Number two, he said, hey, my dad told me this. Keep my commandments. Now, fellas, I just want you to understand what he didn't say. Keep my suggestion. I want to tell you what David didn't say to Solomon. Keep my preferences. I want to tell you that David said this. Keep my commandments. Now, church, I want to tell you something. There's certain things in my home that's a command. There's certain things that might be a suggestion. But you know what David's trying to say? There's some things that really matter. Yes, it's up to you whether or not you listen to everything, but there's some things, it's not a matter of you didn't hear, because I'm commanding it.
Right.
I'm commanding. This is what you're going to do. Hey, when I drive down the road, there, believe it or not, those speed limit signs are commands.
Right.
They're not suggestions. It's suggested 45 miles an hour. No, it says speed limit. That's a command. Now, I want to tell you something. I can choose whether or not I obey that command or not, but it's still a command. Hey, can I tell you what David told Solomon? Hey, Solomon, number one, you listen to what I say. Number two, Solomon, keep my commandments. Don't let them go. The word keep there means to hedge about. The word keep in Scripture, it seems like it's like the, almost like that on every time the English word keep is used. But it means to hedge about, means to guard, means to protect. Hey, I want to tell you, you figure out what, by the way, all you folks that are in here on Wednesday night, it's because your mom and dad believe the Bible.
Right.
The only reason you come to church on Wednesday night is because you believe the Bible. And that, you know what it tells me? You've got some moms and dads that believed God's word in several other areas, and those are commands, not suggestions.
Right.
So in other words, why do we dress the way we dress and associate with certain types of people and not use certain types of language and not watch certain types of films and videos and movies? And why do we do those certain things? Because we find out from Scripture we're not supposed to do that. Mom and Dad says, hey, listen, this is a command. No, you're not going to do that.
Right.
Number three. David is teaching Solomon, and he says, Solomon, number one, listen to my words. He says, Solomon, number two, keep my commandments. He says, Solomon, number three, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. The word get there means to buy, obtain, purchase. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. He says, hey, listen, wisdom is the principal thing. The word principle there means first in time, place. It means first, before you get anything else, get the principle, first thing. Wisdom's a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and get understanding. Hey, church family, can I tell you, there's so much on this lesson that we could talk about as far as wisdom, but the elementary side of it is simply this. Facts. Knowledge, facts. Understanding. The word understanding in Scripture means to separate mentally. Comprehension, comprehending. Wisdom. The use or the application of those facts in my life. Now, I'm getting close to being done. Here's what I want you to see tonight. Mom and Dad, here's what Dad does. Hey, listen, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, because you're the young person, you don't understand why Dad said, I don't think you ought to do that. All you heard was the facts. I don't think you ought to do that. Hey, church, tonight before the service, Seth and Samuel are on camp staff, and so they've been away from their mom and dad. I personally don't mind, as long as my kids are behaving. And I want to tell you, so you ever see my kids not behaving? Come tell me. Specifically in a service like this, because I have one or two of them sometimes, they like to push me. But I want to tell you, I don't have a problem with them being with the teenagers as they get older. But I want to tell you something. As a family, you sit together, some of you sit together as a family, that's a great thing. Keep it up. But I want to tell you something. If I ever tell my kids, I want you to sit over here with the family and they give me any, they're going to be sitting there for quite a while. Because I want to tell you something. You know why? That's my command.
Right.
So tonight before the service, Seth and Samuel have been away at camp staff all this week. So I came up to Seth and Samuel, I told both of them personally. I said, listen, I want you to go sit by close to mom tonight. I don't want you to sit with other people tonight. But to be honest with you, I know Seth and Samuel. I don't have time before a service to sit down and explain to them. Fact. Dad says sit with mom, around mom tonight. Understanding. You've been away from the family now for a week. I want your mom and you to be closer to each other. I want you to be with the family because you've been gone from our family for these last several days. Wisdom. They have a good attitude and say, hey, listen, if that's what Dad wants, that's what I want, because Dad wants our family together. But you're saying, how do you explain all that? You don't. But you know what happens? Hear ye children the instruction of a father. Stand up there. And attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Command, keep my, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, close to mom and dad. I was my father's son, tender and only the loving son of my mother. He taught me. He threw. I caught. I want to tell you something, young people. You ought to have a good relationship with your mom and dad. And I want to tell you how it happens. It happens on your end. Because your mom and dad's going to love you regardless if you love them. Your mom and dad's going to love you regardless if you love them. You know why? Because they gave you birth. They brought you home from the hospital. They changed your diapers. They saw you bring home your first report card. They were with you when you were sick and you were puking out your guts. They've been with you through thick and thin. They love you with all their heart. You could not love them as much as they love you. So it's on your part. You know what's on your part? Here's what's on your part. Mom and Dad knows what's best for you, and they want you to make it in life. They want you to have a happy life. They want you to live a godly life. And so here they are. They're throwing things out. Hey, listen, I don't think you ought to be with so-and-so. I think that you need to get up at a better hour instead of trying to sleep in all the time. I think you need to start having your devotions on a regular basis. And they're pouring out, he taught me, he taught me, he taught me, he taught me. And I want to tell you something, young person. If you don't catch it, and you don't catch it, and you don't catch it, there'll be nothing to pass on to the next generation. And it's no wonder that we're just a few generations out, and we've got kids that don't even want to go to church.
Right.
Pay attention. Open your ears. Thank you. Listen. So what was he trying to say? David, I'll tell you what David taught Solomon. Hey, Solomon, listen to my words. Hey, Solomon, keep my commandments. I know you don't like commands. I know you don't like to be told what to do. But I want you to know the way God set it up so you can be happy.
Right.
Number three, get wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Well, there's several ways. Word of God, God-given pastor, wise people, asking God, accepting reproof. Get it. Don't lose it. You know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could produce kids like... Now, I know Solomon, he had his quirks. I mean, having 700 wives and 300 concubines, that's a quirk. That's more than a quirk. 700 wives, 300, oh my. Poor guy. Hey, besides that quirk, he was still the wisest person who had ever lived. You know why? I want to tell you why. Stand up. This is why Solomon was Solomon. He caught it. He caught it. You have a dad called John Matthews. You call him dad, I call him John Matthews. It's dad to you. You know what's happening in your life? You ready? Get your hands open. You know what's happening in your life? You don't know it. Every day of your life, your dad makes a statement. Your dad treats your mom a certain way. Your dad goes to work. Here's what he's constantly doing. But I want to take, close your eyes. Most people don't catch a ball when their eyes are closed. And I want to tell you something. You're not going to catch what your parents have if your eyes aren't open. Pay attention. You know what? You know the problem with some of you are? I got to close. I'm talking to kids tonight. You know the problem with you? You are so consumed with your parents' faults that you're missing their positive and blessings. Well, they don't do this. Well, I want to tell you something. They do a lot of other things, right? And it's the parent God gave you. So your family, watch for a second here. My dad, to me, was my friend, and he's the greatest man influence in my, the greatest, but bar none. But my dad, he ate too much. He's in heaven now. He's got the perfect body. I'm not sure what that is, but. My dad, I loved him. I still love him. He's my hero. But my dad lost his temper on a regular basis. And he raised his voice like you can't ever imagine. I want to tell you something. My dad had his faults, but he was my friend. You know why? Because I wasn't consumed with his faults. And I want to tell you something. As a young person, there is no doubt. I can't tell you how much I must have missed. But I want to tell you something. There was a lot I did catch. You know why? Because he was always teaching me something. And I want to tell you something. If you don't have a dad in here, God places 10,000 instructors in your life. Pay attention. What's God trying to teach me? What is God trying to show me? Sometimes it's an employer. Sometimes it's a teacher. Sometimes it's a coach. Sometimes it's a pastor. But God, he puts different people in our life. David teaching Solomon. He said, number one, listen to me. Number two, keep my commandments. Number three, get wisdom. That's what David taught Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived. Pay attention. Find out what the Lord wants from you and don't miss it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?